So let's just get into the word tonight. Shall we do that? So I've been speaking on vineyards, and I think this is about the fifth message, we've done, something like that. And I have avoided the obvious pretty much for the whole first four sessions, John 15. I'm the true vine, the famous scripture that talks about vines, and we've avoided that pretty much like the plague as much as I can, just to look at other things, other examples of what was written in the New and Old Testament to kind of just draw from that. But tonight, I couldn't really avoid it. I really needed to go into John. So we're going to go to John 15, and we're just going to look at a few verses, and then we'll unpack some thoughts, and then we can go home and have some McDonald's. Does that sound okay? I'll have a salad. You'll notice I've lost a little bit of weight there. Lost a bit of age as well, apparently. It's good stuff. Anyway, John chapter 15, I'm just going to read from verse 1. Here we go. Whistle when you found it. Oh, I'll just give you a bit more time then. Oh, we'll start without you, because we'll be here forever. Oh, well done. There you go. There's one person. Okay, John chapter 15. I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they can produce much more. Everyone say, much more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Let me just pray. Father, we again thank you for the privilege it is to gather around this amazing word. Lord, we thank you for these words that have come through history to us today that will speak to us about your person, about your culture, about what you desire for each and every person here tonight. Lord, we position ourselves to receive purpose, and we position ourselves to receive truth. So, Lord, we ask that you, by your Holy Spirit, minister to each and every heart that's here, Lord God, that we would leave through those doors tonight changed. And Lord, that's our expectation and our desire. So Lord, we love you, and we prepare ourselves to hear from you. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray all these things. And everyone said, amen. So we've talked about a few things actually over the time we've gathered. We've identified the trunk, the life source that God is, who Jesus is. He's the trunk. He is the life source to our lives, and that's where we draw life from. We've talked about the branches. That's you and I, our place being connected to the Father, that we need to remain in him, which we touched on in this very verse. We need to be part of the vine. If we want to receive the life that the trunk gives, then the branch needs to be connected to the trunk. And then we also unpacked fruit. If you remember that, we did a couple of sessions kind of over that about fruit and how fruit is obviously displayed on branches, but how we also come together, how branches are entwined together. That's what we covered last time about us being together, that the church isn't designed to have one branch, but many branches that support each other, that contribute and feed a multitude. One branch can feed so many, but when you have a multitude of branches and they are all fruitful, there is a huge harvest. And so we kind of looked at that. So here in John's Gospel, I want to pick up on something that we haven't really touched on. We've kind of, but I want to really go there tonight. And we might not take too long on this. Hopefully we'll jump through. But I want to talk about pruning, cutting back. I've called tonight's message cutbacks. Having a cutback in your life. Pruning. It's not a nice word in some of our, I guess for some of us it feels a bit uncomfortable when we talk about cutting things off our life. Especially when we relate to this verse, because often we relate to this verse and we understand that God is saying, well, he has to prune things off our lives, and we get a little bit uncomfortable about that. Because perhaps for some of us, there's things we like in our lives, there's things that we want to hold on to, but God is desiring to cut them off. And we look at that, and it makes us a little bit uncomfortable, because there's some things in our lives that we do like to have. Because when we have things cut off, we associate something with it, don't we? We associate pain. There's a pain that comes with something being cut off. And we don't like pain. Pain affects us, doesn't it? If anyone's ever broken a limb or had gone through a horrendous pain where perhaps your back's been out of joint or something like that, and you've just been in agony for a few days or something like that, or for a couple of weeks, you know what? Pain is not something we desire. We don't like pain. We try and avoid pain like the plague, and it's a good thing. We don't want to have that kind of pain, but what we have here is God is saying, I want to give you pain. Or is he saying that? Maybe that's the way we're interpreting it. But he says this whole idea of cutting things off, of chopping things off. And we look at that and we can kind of go, Oh, that sounds a bit unpleasant. I don't like pain in my life. Let's go to the next slides. Thanks, Steve. You see, when I think of things being cut off, I often, I'm pretty sure no one here has ever lost a limb. Pretty sure. Just looking around, there's no one with a missing limb. Unless I'm missing someone, put your hand up if you're missing a limb. sad joke. Sorry. Raise a toe. But I know that, for us, for our generation, it's not something we come by, but like I said, in the weekend there was that Peace at Last choir concert that they had on the weekend. And coming up in two months' time, we have the 100 years since the armistice of the First World War. And we look at pictures like this of men who went and served in wars. And for us, it's not really common to have people missing limbs, but our generation was impacted by this. There was so many men who went off and fought, and through the mechanisms of horror of war, they lost limbs and they lost legs and arms. You see these guys here, and this is a result of being in conflict, and there was pain in that, and their lives were changed forever. Their lives were impacted. I don't know if I think I've got the right film, but I'm pretty sure it's Dances with Wolves. Does anyone remember that film, Kevin Costner? I'm pretty sure the opening scene is the American Civil War, and he's in there. And I haven't seen it for a while. I need to watch it. But he's in the battle, and he gets really badly wounded from memory. And he's taken into a hospital tent, and he's there. But he was a bit of a hero from memory, and he did an amazing feat. And the doctor says, I need to amputate your leg. I need to cut your leg off. And he is faced with the agony of, I don't want to go through with this. I don't want to lose my leg because I will lose something from my life. I'm going to have a different life after this moment. And I remember he pleads with the general or something, and he says, please don't let them cut my leg off. And maybe there's a friendship there. But the general sends for his personal doctor. That's what I remember about the film. And the doctor comes in, and as a result, because of his expertise and because he's able to give time to it, he is able to fix the leg, and Kevin Costner's character, of course, goes on to be the Dancers of Wolves character, who we read about later. It's a whole other story. But there's that whole moment there, and it's just interesting seeing the agony of him knowing that if he loses his leg, he will lose something from his life. He will have something cut off. And when we hear about things being cut off and pruned off our life, sometimes I think we associate with that feeling because we see what's right in front of us. We see the physical in front of us. But God isn't talking about a physical thing. He's talking about a spiritual thing. And perhaps sometimes when we see that and we realize that's what Father is actually speaking to us through this, we can be looking at the situation where God says, I want to cut something off your life. And we look at it and immediately go, pain. Oh, no, God, I don't know if I want to go there, because we think of physical cutting off. But if we can rearrange our thinking a little bit towards a spiritual cutting off, we can say, is this the same thing? And I want to bring tonight a different perspective perhaps that will maybe help us in understanding why it's important and why God wants us to be cut, why he wants us to be pruned, why he wants to cut things back from our lives. And so hopefully when we come out of this tonight, we'll have a different perspective on that, and hopefully a different faith and heartbeat towards it. Is this okay? So we can wrestle with the idea of losing something, especially if we believe that we won't be able to live or function without it. That is the human grapple. When we feel like something's going to be cut off, we wrestle with the idea of, will I be able to still be the same person if that's cut off my life? See, John in here, in John chapter 15, we're given a picture. And we're given this picture that Jesus is the true vine. The Heavenly Father is the vine dresser. He's the one who tends to the vine. He is the one who maintains it and watches over it. We are all the branches that get pruned. And the reasoning that Jesus gives us, as Jesus talking, is that we get pruned so we can bear much fruit. We can bear more fruit. We can have more on our lives. And this is the opposite of what I'm saying with the physical. Often we look at a physical loss as losing something. Whereas God is saying here, I want to cut something off you so you can gain something. See, there's an opposite spirit that's operating here. And that's what we've got to grapple with. The point of the passage is that God wants us to bear a ton of fruit. And we've kind of touched on this before. I talked about fruit in one of the other sessions, where we talked about how fruit is something that's decorated on our body, and it's something that we give, that displays our faith and our walk with God. And it's something that we do desire. We want to bear much fruit, but it's this process of pruning. It's this process of cutting off that kind of makes us a little bit weary about it. Because yes, I want the fruit. I want the much fruit, but I've got to go through a cutting. I've got to go through a pruning back to be able to get the much fruit. So to do so, we have to be clipped. Let's go to the next slide. Thanks, Steve. So there's two perspectives of cutbacks. Let's go to the first one, man. So there's what I call, like, I guess, our worldly, our physical perspective is we see pruning as pain. That's what we wrestle with. And the second one is what we have just read here is that pruning equals more fruit. We have these two perspectives that we grapple with and wrestle with, and often it takes something more, because when we look with our physical eyes at pruning, we see the physical result, loss. We see pain. But God wants us to turn off our physical eyes and look with a spiritual eye, so that we see a different result. We don't see a loss, but we see a gain. To be an abundantly fruitful producer with your life, there is a process that hurts, and that's what we recognize. The hurt is there, it's part of the process, but we can't focus on the hurt. We've got to look beyond the hurt. And what does that take? It takes faith. We have to put our faith in Father and believe that what He says is true. Because when we just see the pain, we won't push through to the more. We will just see the pain and we will hold back. And we will pull away from God's shears, you know, from His loppers. Faith must be active in our lives to see that God wants to do something good. Our physical eyes and our experience sometimes only see the pain. It takes faith to believe that it is through the pain that we will gain a greater fruitfulness. How does pruning work? This is the question. Because we sit there and we go, yes, pruning. Yeah, okay, pruning. And I'm worried about it, but God's saying there's more. Okay, so that's fine. But how does pruning work? What does it do? So I thought I'd invite a guest speaker tonight. Is that okay? I've actually invited a horticulturalist along from the University of Nebraska, that's right, in the USA, to quickly explain how pruning works and why it's done. This is Vaughn Hammond. So let's just turn our eyes to the screen and listen to Vaughn. Is that okay?
Springtime is a perfect time to be pruning your grapes, especially this year when the temperatures dropped into the minus 20s. A lot of damage was done to the plants without us even knowing it, and now this time of year with the new growth, we can see what's alive and what's not. Let's first do a quick lesson on grapevine anatomy. The structure that goes vertically from the ground to the wire is known as the trunk. Once it becomes horizontal and runs along the wire, it is known as the cordon. From the cordon is last year's growth, known as spurs. From those spurs, the growth this year is called a shoot, from which this year's fruit will come. There's just a few basic tools that you need when you're pruning grapes. First, your hand pruners for the smaller wood that you'll be cutting. Secondly, the loppers for something that may be a little bit larger. Worst case scenario, the pruning saw for the really large stuff. And then, of course, for safety purposes, gloves and safety glasses. Pruning is the removal of plant material to achieve a horticultural goal. And today our goal is to maximize fruit production. We are also working towards maintaining the plant size and form, as well as optimizing the balance between shoot and fruit production. With this particular plant, you can tell that there's a lot of good green growth on it, so it's come through the winter in fairly good shape. What we need to do at this point is reduce the size of the plant itself. And we'll do that by coming in and cutting the canes down to 2 or 3 live buds, and then measure about a fist width, 4 to 6 inches between the spurs, and remove anything in between. We also want to remove any growth that's pointing down that has been damaged by insects or damaged by the winter weather, wind, or hail. Hail damage shows up as scars along the canes. A properly pruned grape has 80 to 90% of its growth removed. As you can see from this plant, there's not very much left from the original plant. All the downward growth has been removed, and all that remains is upward pointing growth that's approximately a fence width or 6 to 8 inches between the shoots. With a good growing season, you can expect to have a bountiful harvest from these plants.
There you go, that wasn't too long, was it? Yeah. I found that really insightful. I don't know if you did, just the short of what it takes to prune a grapevine and why. I mean, you look at it and it's almost like it's cut back to a twig. There's like nothing. You see all the big branches and stuff. And it's a really interesting process. That is what it takes to get a healthy and a really fat load of fruit on a grapevine, is to chop it right back. It's to cut it all the way back, and you're like, whoa, man, come on. How many other plants do we do that with? We kind of just say, no, you don't chop it off, let it grow and grow and grow and that sort of thing. But I found that really amazing. See, God is the vine dresser. He dresses the vine with different tools. And I love that there, how he shows the three tools. We have the little shears, the little pruners. And you go, yeah, okay, there's a little snip, snip here, there. And then he says he's got the loppers for the big ones. And I don't know if you've used a lopper. You know, you hit a bit of a tough branch. And you know when it cracks, is there something to it? It's a bit fleshy, a bit raw, a bit nasty. But the pruning saw. How many people want a pruning saw in their life? And it's, you have to cut all the way through, and it's pretty nasty and vicious. But yeah, isn't it interesting that you've got the three different kinds of tools there that all do the same job, but the goal is the same. The goal is to make the vine fruitful. And so you've got to tend to it, otherwise it won't be fruitful. This is the same. And we look at that, and we look at God, and we go, okay, if God's is coming into my life and he's going to come and he's going to cut things. He's going to come with his pruners. We go, okay, well, a little bit of the shears, a little bit of that's fine. Or when he pulls out the loppers, you go, oh, I don't know if I like the crunch. I don't know if I like that crunching noise that's going to come. And when he pulls out the pruning saw, we're running. Let's run away. Get out of here. This is just too vicious. And so we look at that and we go, well, I don't know if I want God in my life, if that's who he is. But we've got to be reminded this is the same God who in chapter 3 says that he so loved the world that he loved you. How much did he love you? He sent his son, his one and only son, to die for you. And when we put it into perspective and context of that, we understand that our God cares for us deeply. If he loves us so much that he sent his son to die for us, that is a love that is deeper than we can understand. It is a sacrificial love. He cares deeply for you. When we get that revelation, when we have the understanding that God loves us, that he deeply cares for us and he wants the best for us, he wants to see us be all that he's created us to be. When we have that revelation in our heart, the pruner who comes along with all those tools has a completely different, perhaps, face. Perhaps we're not so scared because we look at the vine dresser coming to our lives and he says, I'm going to dress your life. I'm going to chop some things back. And we go, oh, we see the tools, but then we see the face of the Father who loves me, the Father who cares for me, the Father who sent his son to die for me. And perhaps some of those feelings in my life around being wary around allowing Father to trim me back, to prune me back, perhaps they will dissipate because faith will step in and say, God, I'm scared of those tools. I'm scared of what you're holding in your hands, but I see the love in your eyes. And by faith, I'm going to trust you, just like I trust a surgeon when I go into hospital and go to sleep and allow my life to be vulnerable under the knife. It's almost the same kind of thing as we trust Father to do what he wants to do. A loving Father who looks at our lives and has the knowledge of what is good for you, what you are capable of, and a desire to see you produce a huge harvest is worth putting your faith in. Amen? That's what I mean, it's challenging, but it is a step of faith to say, Father, I recognize that you care for me. I recognize you have the best intention for me and you desire to see my life fruitful. I'm going to put my faith in you. So if by faith we trust that pruning is good, the next question is, what does pruning look like? Because we go, yes, okay, God, we understand by that video that we saw that the vine needs to be cut right back. It's something like, he said 80% or something like that. It's a huge amount of the vine gets cut back. But that's what it takes to cut the vine back to make it healthy. So what does that look like spiritually?
What does pruning look like if we're looking through our spiritual life at each of our lives? Because we can go, okay, well, maybe it's just giving up stuff in my life. Yes, that's probably part of it. But I think what we see here in the Gospel of John is something a little bit deeper than that. Gareth actually sent me a blog a couple of weeks ago after the last time I preached from Bayless Connolly. Do you remember that? Yes. And so I had a quick read of it. It wasn't very long, but there was one thing that was in there that I thought was really cool. Pastor Bayless Connolly was actually talking about this very topic, pruning. And there was this thing there he said. I'll just bring up the slide. Thanks, Steve. John 15, verse 3. It says this. In John 15, verse 3, Jesus tells us, "You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you." Isn't that fascinating? We are already clean because of the word that Jesus has spoken to us. There's something in that. The word translated clean in verse 3 is the same word translated for prune in verse 2. So clean and prune is the same thing. What Jesus is saying is that you and I are already pruned through the word he has spoken to us. And it's a huge revelation of what pruning is to us. It is the word of God. Is this okay? So as we sit under the word of God and allow those words to shape our lives, they are like pruning shears, they are like loppers, they are like pruning saws that come into our life, and it's by the word of God that we begin to have our lives pruned, because our foliage is exposed to God, and God comes and he challenges our heart with the word. This is why I really want to emphasize again tonight, it is so important that we read the word of God. We need to have a lifestyle of reading the word. And I know what it's like. Sometimes it's hard because we have so many other things. And if you're not a strong reader, like I'm not a strong reader. I didn't really read through school. Whenever there was the high school book review, I'd get the movie out. Anyone identify with that? Get the movie out and hope it was correct to the book. And everybody's here, friend, oh no, you got to be careful. That scene's not in the book. Okay, thanks, man. And that sort of thing. I'm not a strong reader. But the value and the importance of knowing the word needs to be pressed into. If I want to have the word in my heart and I want to be able to share it with others and allow it to prune my life, then I've got to get into it. This is why it's important to be in a small group, to go along where the word is discussed, where the word of God can be thrown around and it can prune our lives, and we can challenge one another and we can share it and unpack it and go a little bit deeper. It starts to prune our life. We won't come to church on Sunday. It's important to attend services. Yes, we want to worship. Yes, we want to give. We want to do all those things, but we also need to sit under the word, because the word will prune us. So right now, we're in a pruning session. Does that make sense? Amen? So every time we engage in listening and hearing and seeing and receiving the word of God, we position ourselves to be pruned. And so all of a sudden, I don't know about you, but when I get this revelation of what John is saying to us here, it doesn't seem so scary. It's not necessarily about, you know, oh, there's this big scary tools that are going to come and lock my life off. I'm sitting under the word, and what does the word do? It brings us life. And when life comes to me and comes to you, I'm sure you're the same. I receive it and I'm going, God, I want to be like that. God, I'm inspired to be like Jesus. God, I want to lift my level and be more like you. And by doing that, by the word washing over us, the pruning is taking place and we don't even realize it. And the pain is so minimal because we're so fixated on the Father. And the spiritual pruning is a completely different idea to what we think physical pruning is. That's good news. So make sure we read our scripture, attend small groups, get along to services. The fact that you're here tonight says that you are open to being pruned, and we're all open to being pruned, and I love that. We are a people that want to grow. We're a people that want to bear much fruit. All the stuff we've talked about fruit in the last few sessions, about us bearing much fruit, being full of joy, being full of peace and patience and gentleness and all that stuff. If that's the fruit that we want, we need to sit under the word, because that's how we'll get like that. Oh, how do I get to have kindness in my life? I'll go off to Bible college and I'll get a degree in kindness. It doesn't work that way. It does, but it doesn't. Do you know what I'm saying? You sit under the word and allow the word to make you kind, to challenge your heart in areas where you're probably not so kind, perhaps where you're a little bit, you know, gruff around people and that sort of thing, and allow the word to challenge you about how we love one another and how we treat one another. Then it's through the word of God that we start to adjust things, and that's the pruning taking place. Our heart changes and the fruit begins to develop in our lives. You know, it's interesting, the vine, and Bayless Connolly's blog, I haven't got some of my notes, but I just remember reading it. He talks about the story that he shared was about a vine. I don't know if anyone's got a grapevine in their back garden, but a grapevine that he had in a house or somewhere he was staying. There's this massive grapevine, and for years it didn't produce any fruit. They're lucky if they got one bunch of grapes off. It was a big, lush vine. And so he was getting frustrated. He says, I've got this beautiful vine, but no fruit on it. And so he says, he went and spoke to someone in his church, I think, who was a bit of a horticulturalist or knew about vines, vineyardist, and said, oh, come, can you come and look at my vine? Because I want to be able to have grapes off it. It'll be really lovely to have grapes and to eat them and share them with people and all that sort of care. And so this guy came around and he literally cut it right back. And Bayless was like, what the heck, man? You've killed my vine. It's dead. It's like chopped right back. It's a stick out the ground. The following season, he said there was more fruit than they could eat themselves. They were constantly giving it away. Isn't it fascinating how sometimes, often in our own lives, we've been looking at something for so long. Perhaps our vines have been very thick and full of leaves and that, but there's no grapes on it. And it's looked that way for so long. Maybe it's time to allow the word to come and prune some things off our lives. Why? Because then more fruit will come. More fruit in our lives. Maybe there's areas of our life where we wish there was more fruit. Man, I'd love to be, I'd love to be more loving. I'd love to, have more self-control in areas of my life. Maybe it's time to prune some things back. Allow the word to prune in that area of your life. And see, let's just see how much fruit comes in self-control in your life. How amazing is that? Can I have our wonderful keyboardist give Gareth a quick hand? Is that all right? As the word comes into our lives, we're allowing the Father to tend to our vine. Just go to the final slide. Thanks, Steve. As we close tonight, this evening, I want to challenge you. May we seek to be pruned. May we make that something that we desire. It's great that a number of us have come out tonight to hear the word and to position ourselves that way. Sometimes I think when we've been doing church for a while and we go from service, to prayer meeting, to small group, and we get used to it, and we take it a little bit for granted. And then we miss one. Oh, it's just one. I just won't go this week. And then something comes up and, there's family from out of town or something. So, I'll miss that one. I'll be okay. I'll just go and do that. And we pull back. We start closing our Bible. We get up in the morning, we're reading our Bible, but I've decided to start exercising. I'm going to go for a run now. So we close the dusty book up and go for a run. And we don't read the word. I'm not against exercise. I'm trying to do it myself. All right? I'm trying to get fit. It's good. But I want to be fit in this too. I want to make room to be pruned. Because there's still branches in my life that need to be cut off. We look at that picture there and we go, oh, God cuts 80% of it off. And you go, yeah, it probably feels like that at times. Do you know that has to be done season after season? This isn't a one-time thing. Oh, we cut the vine back and then it's going to be fruitful forever. No. The season ends and it has to be cut back again. There's this ongoing picture of God pruning us and saying, this isn't a thing, you don't arrive. Do you get what I'm saying? You don't arrive in this. If we position ourselves to be pruned constantly, by always going to a small group, by always getting along to church, to hearing messages. And I mean, the thing is, we live in an age now where the digital age, we have all these podcasts and MP3s. You can listen to some of the greatest speakers in the world. We've got great speakers right here. You can have both. But we have all the stuff and the saturation, but we're always too busy to allow the pruning to come. I don't know about you, but I want to bear much fruit. Do we want to bear much fruit tonight? May we position ourselves to become more fruitful. For some of us, that means no longer making church attendance optional. Perhaps it's no longer thinking of small group as unnecessary. Perhaps instead of having the excuse that you don't read well, you go and get yourself an audio Bible so you can listen to the word in the car. Let me just pray for us. I'm not going to necessarily do an altar call, but I just want you to personally reflect in this moment. You know what? God is here. We've had an incredible time of worship. Father is here. He knows where your heart is at, and He knows your vulnerability. He knows where you are. He knows what stirred in your heart in this last 20 odd minutes, half an hour. He knows what's stirring, and He desires to come alongside you and say, you know what? I can help you. Don't ever feel like you have to do this by yourself. Father is there to walk with you. A vine dresser, someone who looks after a vine, they don't just lop it off and walk away. They care for it and tend for it. Father wants to care and tend to you. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for an incredible moment around your word, Lord God. Thank you that your word is life. Thank you that your word is truth. Thank you, Lord God, that when we understand the idea of pruning, Father, we don't have to be wary or scared or concerned, but Lord, we can have faith and trust in you, because all we have to do is position ourselves to hear your word, to allow your word to penetrate our hearts, to allow your Holy Spirit to stir that word, that through that process, we will naturally be pruned so that our fruit will next season will be just amazing. Lord, I believe that every single person here tonight desires that for their lives. They desire to be fruitful for you, for your kingdom. And so, Lord, I ask, Father, that we would hunger and thirst after your word, Lord God. We would be known as a church that reads the word, that listens to the word, that unpacks the word, that discusses the word, so that we can be pruned together, so that our vine, our vineyard, can bear much fruit. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. It's going to hand back to Pastor Andrew.